Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hey, Roifield. You really should be careful what you wish for, but you've asked for more dum-de-dums, so it's time to unleash my singing voice on you. This is Lula. I'm on a walk with Wilf, the dum-de-dog. He doesn't really like my singing, so it's possible there might be some background barking and or whining, but here we go. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum. Dum-de-diddly-dum, de-diddly-dum, de-diddly-dum.
This is Dum-de-dum, the show about the reality hockey drama that are centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands, on the contemporary interior design collection that is Roifield Brown. How did you know I love interiors? We've never talked about that, Lucy. It's a big love of mine.
We have talked about it, but it wasn't that. It was talking about Emma Grundy.
Right. When is this podcast going to ever be about me?
Matt Corner, that can be about you.
Oh, no, Claire Asprey's taken that over, I tell you. Oh,
has she?
It's a power grab. It's a power grab, Luce.
It's a coup d'etat. Let her get on with it. She's probably much better at organising it than you are, so fine.
She's a scarily competent woman, I tell you. She's just on it. Like, you know, she's running Luton City Council right now. She's just like doing stuff. Good for you, missus. Anyway, folks, and then with me, I have the global gonad that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Emma's scrapbook, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dummy Dummers from Lulum, who sang her little heart out. Now, Lucy, if somebody else would like to send... I am finished.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Now, Lucy, take a deep breath, right? If somebody else other than Lulum would like to send us in a dum-de-dum, how can that be achieved?
They can call us on 0203 0313 105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe on the website. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her brilliant voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and Derek for the loan in the back bedroom. Derek has just been on a weekend trip to Scotland. He flew with EasyJet and he got upgraded. They gave him a seat.
Oh, so sorry. Luce, right?
Yes.
Every now and then this happens, right?
Right.
Yeah, but you have to explain that joke to me. I'm so sorry.
Because EasyJet's rubbish, so if you get upgraded on EasyJet, they upgrade you to give you a seat.
You
don't
what?
Fly EasyJet though, do you? Because you're an international jet set man of mystery, so you probably travel business class.
No. I have done business class a couple of times. Each time I was upgraded, and you get bubbles and everything. It's all rather lovely. But no, I'm not. I won't have you slagging off EasyJet. That joke would have landed if you'd said Ryanair. That's the shithole of all airlines. That's the one which is utter pants.
Hmm. You weren't on the flight from...
Let's hear your tale of woe then on EasyJet.
Oh, no, it was fine. It's just all the ridiculous queuing business.
Mm.
Because they overfilled a cabin. Mm-hmm. So then there isn't room for everyone's bags. So then they say, right, if your bag won't fit in the hold, if your bag won't fit in the cabin thingy, we're going to have to put it in the hold and we're going to charge you 50 quid to do that. All the choices, you leave your bag behind. That's it. That's the choice. So people get, because everyone's sort of English and we're quite keen on the old queue, everybody starts getting really edgy and sort of you know, but there was a group of people standing up for 45 minutes in panic that otherwise they wouldn't get their bags on and then they would have to pay. It's just ridiculous. It's an insane business model, but anyway, it must work for them. It just produces a lot of very cross, twitchy people who are, you know, the world's most unrelaxed travellers because they're just continually terrified that someone's going to, you know, take this. It's like musical chairs, basically. It's airline musical chairs, except you're paying them. It's ridiculous.
Hmm. Well, I told about that when I went to Malta the other day, and then I got screwed over because I didn't print off the actual ticket, online which I never thing. Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like 100 and odd quid.
Yeah.
But my thing is just when you're at your gate and they call your gate, why do people then stand up for 20 minutes and the queue's not moving? Why? Why? Why don't you just relax, sit down,
I know.
Avail yourself of the free Wi-Fi, you know, and watch everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's just weird how there's this uneasiness somewhere about this. Something is going to go wrong somewhere and it's going to happen to me, except 3/4 of the flight's thinking that. So they're all kind of, you know, there's a survival of the fittest kind of thing going on. A bit like the Hunger Games, you know. But it's almost like the Hunger Games. Flying has now become so easy, we don't trust it. So therefore there's got to be some horrible penalty will befall you, or some horrible thing will befall you if you don't queue up and you don't make it uncomfortable for yourself. You know, you're going to be forced to run along behind the plane or something. I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird. But I had the utter pleasure. I can't believe we haven't started the show. Right. But I had the utter pleasure of traveling to Toronto from Birmingham this week, which was such a revelation. Because normally when I go to see the kids in Canada Land, and I'm in the UK, I travel down from Birmingham if I'm not in London, which is like 3.5 hours to get to Gatwick. Then you have to like fly over 20 minutes. Dad said, son, I'll take you to the airport. 20 minutes, bish, bosh, bang. Oh, glorious. Birmingham International Airport, recommend it. Oh, great. It's small. And it's the other thing as well. Big airports, overrated. You want a small airport, Luce. The smaller the better, because you get through. No fannying, no fuss, you get through. Small airports, regional airports, brilliant. Anyway, on that note, folks, on this week's episode, we have calls from Red Agnes, Rachel, Jeannie, Mary and Julie. But first, before them calls, and before Lucy and I maybe get sidetracked into some more shenanigans about international travel, it's our Lucy and a Week in Ambridge.
This Week in Ambridge was sponsored by Spring Onions and Flatulence. Helen and Lee are trundling on. And I think we all got a little glimpse of quite how Tom and Helen ended up so batshit when Pat decided to tactfully suggest that Helen might need to be going out with someone who wasn't quite so, well, not quite so, well, trainery. Basically, Pat called Lee Mr. Thicky Thicky Thick Thick, nay, Common. She said Lee had only talked to her about martial arts and stuffed crust pizza. A, it's the first time he's ever met you, Pat, and B, you're not exactly Peter Ustinov yourself. You never go anywhere, your only interest is dairy products, and you have no hobbies except obsessing over your children's lives. You need someone more on your wavelength, Helen, or better still, just stay with me, live with me forever, and never ever leave, Helen, so that I can protect you by continually knocking down your self-respect. Jenny has gone on strike in her fury at Brian's insistence on refusing to take the blame for filling the am with TCP, the stubborn old git. She's not cooking, so he's not getting his porridge or his oats either, presumably. Although, judging by the way they keep banging on about how small that house is, they're probably having sex just to give themselves an extra 6 inches in bed. Brian declared that he was doing it to protect his good name as a lying philanderer. He then got bored, and Adam found him while Brian was hunting around, saying, lubricant, gloves. Brian, said Adam, what are you doing in my medicine cabinet? Helen suddenly remembered that Ian was her best friend. "Oh, I'm so pleased for you about the baby," she said, "whoever you are. We have met, haven't we?" "Yes, I thought so." She was even more tense than normal as she was worrying about what to wear to a Chinese restaurant with Lee. She dressed down in the end in a crinoline bustle and lace gloves. She then completely and utterly disgraced herself. She then That's completely good, and utterly disgraced herself by doing a silent burp. For the love of God. The one thing that insane scene in the Chinese restaurant did do was give me a bit of a start, as I suddenly thought, maybe we've all got the wrong idea about Lee and he's Chinese, which would explain the interest in martial arts and also Pat suggesting that she found someone more on her wavelength. If they start doing a kefir with black bean sauce, we'll know what's going on. Poor Helen didn't get much more enthusiasm from Krusty, who, true to form, immediately saw doom heading her way. "He's probably a psycho. I shouldn't be happy, Helen. It doesn't suit you." Krusty was having her own crisis, as Philip asked her to move in with him so she could help him shift his walking frame if he has a fall. This came on top of her deciding she did not want to be a flip-flop dispenser for the rest of her days, and what she really wanted to do was be a Greenham Common protester, but the wages are rubbish and the prospects a bit limited. Krusty and Philip had the single most joyless lunch I have ever heard. They ate fish pie, drank tap water, and talked with their mouths full all the way through it. Fish bones and mashed potato everywhere. The Brookers archers were being as self-centred as normal. They're in some sort of race to fix Elizabeth, while using her depression as an excuse to squabble between themselves. Kenton described David as inhuman for wanting the money he loaned Kenton back again, as he's currently watching Kenton wazz it up the wall on the full vinyl collection of Now That's What I Call Music and Hooked on Classics. Kenton's completely baffled about Elizabeth's depression. "Why would she not want to open up to us?" he said wonderingly. "We're all quite normal. David's quietly playing with his toy farm in the corner. Shula's doing a course called 16 Ways to Improve Your Kneeling. And Mum's gone mute again. In fact, Jill could be in a game show all of her own. Hoot or mute. Then Jolene waded in. "Hello, Elizabeth. I've come to look at your ha-ha," she said. "There's nothing funny about my bloody ha-ha," said Elizabeth gloomily. Everybody from Bess upwards had an opinion about the putative Lexling. Brian was worried that Adam and Ian's child is going to be beaten up. "I remember my own school days," said Brian. "Children could be so cruel to a five-year-old in a cravat."
Kirsty, you're laughing at that gag.
It's just a little picture in my head of a little tiny boy in a cravat. Kirsty crept up behind Brian and made him jump for the high hills, which was the high point of my week. "Watch what you're doing on that thing," he demanded. That confused me. What thing? It was never explained. A scooter? A Segway? A Shetland pony? Or had she saddled up Philip and that's why he's sounding so shagged out? But the other high point of the week was we got a bit of Joe, and we got the Old Testament Joe, the one that bangs on about the good God humbles the mighty, but also says he's seen enough hard times not to feel sorry for other people who are going through it a bit. Good old Joe. Never mind Jolene or the combined efforts of the Archer family. Hand Elizabeth over to Joe Grundy. A couple of nights in the cider shed and a quick go on his personal lav and she'll be right as rain. The end.
Oh, that is a triumph this week. Well done, missus. I love it when you stop and laugh at your own jokes.
It's you. I hear you laughing and it makes me laugh.
Stop it. You're laughing at your own genius. Well done, you. Now, Arloose, this is the time when we go through in forensic detail the last week in Ambridge. So would you like to start with Brian and David discussing the fact that if Brian
You're decides... reading this off the thingy of the on the site, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm totally not.
All right, then. Okay. It's just that was the first scene. I'm very hot under this blanket, Royfield. Do I have to keep it on my head?
Well, I don't know how you're going to improve the acoustics when you record Dum-de-dum otherwise.
Oof, okay. I'm having a personal sauna under here.
That's the issue. That's the issue, Arloose.
Okay. Do you not get boiling when you record it then?
No, because I don't. I record. You know how I record. I lie on the bed.
Yeah, but you record with the duvet over your head. You must be boiling
as
well.
No, I don't. I don't.
Oh.
I've never recorded with a duvet over my... No, that's not quite true. When I used to do the Audio Lounge podcast, I used to record with the thing over my head. But that's because I didn't have a proper mic. Since I got a proper mic, I just lie on a bed, have the mic underneath me and talk down to the duvet. That's what I do.
Okay. I'm going to take this thing off then because I'm too hot and I'll sit like this. Is that better?
That is better, actually.
Is just it?
Be closer. Oh, you sound all warm now, your tones.
Hello.
Yes.
Do I sound like, what's her name? Who's that woman that's just died? The one with the sexy voice. I've forgotten her name. Betty Marsden. Never mind.
Who?
You don't know who she is. Never mind. I know who she is.
Right.
Round the horn. Crack on.
Right. Okay.
Yes. So, David and Brian.
Well, I just thought it was kind of an instructive scene because if there's a theme of last week, it was Brian getting it from just about everybody. Saying how ridiculous and how pompous you're actually being. And it started with David and basically ends up with Joe. Though Joe is not talking at all about going to court, but just about, you know, being hurt and then taking it out on the ones that you love.
Yeah.
It was a nice little shoehorn, I thought, really. You know, bookend, I should say.
Well, it was about not putting your ego in front of what needs to be done.
Mm. Exactly.
Wasn't it? It's not putting your ego in front of love, which I think Brian's at a tricky age, as they say about teenagers, aren't they? Because it's a phase. He'll grow out of it. But you have to be a young, maybe a younger bloke, like a pre-teen bloke, boy, and then a much older bloke, i.e. Joe, to do that gracefully. I think the time in between, there's a bit of an ego stranglehold going on if you're a very alpha male like Brian, and all your decisions. It's quite interesting. One of my friends is I can't really say what he is, but he's quite important in football, shall we say, and he's having
he was the ex-manager of Manchester United.
Sorry?
Was he the ex-manager of Manchester United?
No. Chief executive of the Premier League. He's having contract negotiations at the moment.
How are we going to conduct this podcast if I have to shut up? Can I not retort?
No, just shut up just for now. Just let me get to the end of the sentence, then you can interrupt again.
You're talking about football. I quite like football.
Yeah. He's doing contract negotiations at the moment, and he is very aware and has said to me, I am messing this up because I am willy-waving. And he's putting his own ability, he's putting his own desire to take things very personally and seek revenge, as he sees it, on people that he sees as doing him wrong, in a way that's actually going to be extremely detrimental to him in the long run. But I said, just stop doing it. And he said, I can't. They have to know that I was right, that I cannot back down, even though it's completely going to be totally counterproductive, but he can't stop. And I thought, oh, you're Brian. And he's 30. So obviously it's, if you're that sort of bloke, you're that sort of bloke. And, you know, that's what you do.
Is your friend Jonathan Barnett?
No, he is not.
Mino Raiola.
I'm going. Is this whole podcast going to be you saying names that I don't know and me saying no, it is not, and then we'll play the theme tune, and then that'll be that.
They're the most powerful agents in football, so I'm just going through the top 20. Anyway, it's only really what I said last week. It's not often when I have a tiny bit of insight, but I said he was being an arse because he was hurting his family.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand how somebody of that age would willfully hurt the people who benefited from all of his hard work, who I know that they're slightly on hard times, but, you know, as I said last week, not quite at Grundy levels and stuff, but you wouldn't make things worse for them. You just wouldn't.
Mm.
You'd have enough perspective at Brian's age to say, right, you know, my ego's one thing, my family's completely another.
So
patting myself on the back.
Yes,
for that
very
one.
Good.
Now, you in your monologue did You're ripped into our pat vis-a-vis Lee, but you yourself line up on the side of, well, he's just not up to snuff when it comes to Helen. So why have a go for Pat for feeling the same thing?
She deliberately chosen somebody that was innocuous, that was appears to be extremely innocuous and harmless and lower status than her, in her view. But I was this week was all about people.
He loves and accepts her. She can have a little lady burp and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And you forever, if there is an on-running point that you make, ongoing point that you make, ever since we started doing Dum De Dum 260-odd episodes ago.
Years ago,
it's about being able, when you're in a relationship, the first time that person, you know, first time you fart in front of your partner. You've said it once, you've said it twice, you've said it three times. Ongoing it is, Lucy. Three times in 4 years, you've come out the same point. And we had it in the Archers. She had a little burp and he was fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with the man?
Nothing's wrong. I don't think anything's wrong with him.
You do? You don't think he's up to snuff intellectually, socially?
No, I think she thinks he isn't, but she's deliberately chosen that. Basically, I think there was a lot this week on the Archers of people sticking their beaks in when it's absolutely nothing to do with them. You know, like it just fascinates me, really, the way people do that. Like when Pat says to Helen, I'm not sure he's right for you. And then Emma said to Jennifer, I'm not sure Lexi should do it. What did they honestly think is going to happen? Did Emma honestly think Jennifer would go, oh, do you know what? God, you know what, Emma? You're right. I hadn't thought of that. Yes, okay. I'll tell Adam to cancel the pregnancy then. And she won't have it. It's just, what do people get out of saying things like that? What do they actually think the other person is going to do? Is Pat going to is Helen going to suddenly say, no, do you know what, you're right, Mum, I'll dump him? You know, it's just bloody madness. If someone approaches you and says, I have a dilemma here, I can't decide what to do, what do you think? Fair enough, but you still don't have the right even then to start wading in and saying you should do this or you should do that. You can sort of point out what people might not have thought about or just talk to them about where they are in the process. But when it's already happened, to go up and say, I don't think you should have done that. You know, what the hell? I just don't get the psychology of that at all. I know it's a very, very common thing, and you know, but I was really disappointed in Emma.
Why be disappointed? She's, you know, an apple never falls far from the tree, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And also, it's the meat of the whole effing village. It's gossip. It's, you know, the relaying of news, your spin on, you know, that person's spin on the news that they've heard. And let's be honest about it. Surrogacy, no one's saying it's wrong, right? But you are going to sit down and think, you know, well, who actually is the biological father?
Yeah.
It's totally legitimate just to go, well, you know, I'm just going to ask the question. Doesn't mean that you're homophobic. Doesn't mean that you hate the whole idea of it.
No, but she wasn't doing that. Emma wasn't doing that.
No. But that's what I'm saying. It's all about, the gossip and it's about the spin.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's just human interest, and you'd have to be a saint to kind of pretend that I don't want to know any of the details, except I do, but, you know, yeah.
No, what Emma was doing was to be incredulous that a woman would, in effect, rent a womb out and that it was all going to go wrong. But putting that to one side, there is a certain level of human excitement just around utterly effing juicy gossip.
Yeah.
But she was being the daughter of Susan. And so there was that little bit of edge. And it was nice when she got slapped down by our Kirsty. And Jennifer says, well, you know what? This is none of your business. So basically, like, butt out.
Yeah, yeah.
Of which then she took great umbrage by saying, well, I'm only saying what other people are saying in the village. I'm just telling you that people are talking about it. But I love all that. Love it.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes it real.
There's some people, there's a lady I used to know in the village who used to say things like that and then say, I'll just leave that with you. As if, oh, I've just given you such a gem from my amazing genius-like brain that, you know, I know that's going to absorb you for the next, you know, oh, you're going to have to go away and think about that. And you just think, nope.
But whilst we were upset with Emma for being, you know, so judgmental, then, of course, you get the lovely scene with her and Joe. And Joe's got his Pritt stick out.
Oh, with a global gonad.
And then it was just a lovely...
And then when he went all quiet and he said, are you cross with me, Emma? You're not happy with me, are you, Emma? And she said, no, it's all right, Joe. You know, like, you fucking idiot. Why don't you leave it alone? But I like the fact that he thought it was quite therapeutic doing cutting and sticking. Bless him, like he's in bloody kindergarten. But yes, it's very cute.
Well, I can remember I was the best in the class at cutting out and sticking.
Were you?
Yeah, Mrs. Nolan's class. But I talked about Mrs. Nolan enough. GCSE. I talk about my utter affection for Mrs. Nolan too much on this podcast. So I'm going to move on, because otherwise I'll just well up. I'm still not going over the fact she emigrated to Australia. Anyway, so Jolene.
That was a very embarrassing scene, I thought.
Really?
Jolene is better than that, yeah. I don't think she did a very good job. I think Elizabeth was extremely uncomfortable. You could see through what Jolene was trying to do a country mile off, and it was just, you know, she doesn't know. She said, oh, I really enjoyed this. We don't get to spend enough time together, Elizabeth. And I thought, you've barely been in a scene with her since Kenton married you. You know, you don't know her the slightest. You can't suddenly come pegging in just because she's ill.
Luce, that is very true, you know. There is something about Jolene being an archer which doesn't sit comfortably with me. It's like she's not.
Yes,
like she's
exactly.
She's not a member of that family.
Yeah, no. You
know, she doesn't sit round that table and crack jokes, and she doesn't feel like an archer at all. And I've only thought about this just now, but she just doesn't.
No.
In a way that, you know, Alistair felt like he was part of that family. Is this a class thing? Oh my God, maybe it's a class thing. Because Alistair feels like he's a part of that family. Nigel obviously did. Ruth does.
Ruth?
Well, Ruth is a little bit detached. You're right.
Yeah.
No, she's she has lots of scenes with Jill, so there is a relationship of sorts, isn't there? Not of sorts.
Yeah.
There's a relationship. Full stop.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas Jolene doesn't talk to any of the other archers, and for you to feel that, you know, she's an in-law.
No, exactly.
Goodness, never thought about that before. That right. There's loads of other things. There was Alistair being a superstar, saving the day. Lots of Alistair last week, wasn't there?
Yeah, and it was nice as well that it was all, you know, he's getting lots of pats on the back at the moment and he deserves it, you know.
Does that mean he's being set up for a big fall? He's going to be put out to pasture? The old git.
We'll find out who's got terminal disease in the next omnibus, but anyway.
Nice little scene, him and Johnny and getting the cow's hoof out of the thingy and all of that. And he's a decent vet. And then we had him with Joe, and Joe worried. I'd completely forgotten that Joe has this new...
the other pony, Jem.
Yeah, a new pony.
Yeah.
And it's kind of from Shorter and stuff. And they're, you know, and because of what happened to Bartleby.
Yeah.
I had forgotten all about that and stuff. So it's a nice little bit of a... you know, way of tying that all up and stuff. But you know what? Alistair's a nice bloke. He's an utterly nice bloke.
He is.
Utterly nice bloke. Anyway, we could go on, but we're not here for that really, are we? It's not all about us. When has this podcast ever been about us, Lucy? it never has it,
according
really?
To the reviews, it's far too much about us, but anyway.
Anyway, it's some time for some corner inners. Ooh, that was loud.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Right, let's have our Rachel Thomas first off.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. This is Rachel Thomas here, Vet Voyagers on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. I'm in Aosta, which is in northwest Italy, near
Ciao.
Mont Blanc, or Monte Bianco, as the Italians call it. And I'm phoning in with a comment about the Flower and Produce Show. It's just been the local fair here, and I think the activities in Ambridge pale into insignificance compared to the ability of this small town to fill the entire place with giant wooden cockerels. There are huge wooden cocks everywhere, including a sort of 15-foot high one next to the Roman Theatre. there are all sorts of food stands and artisan producers of all sorts of artisanal things and stalls with random farm implements. And I've just been to a Cayley dance, traditional dance, which was outside in -5 in an open air area. The band had a small plastic hut with a heater and the rest of us bounced about in the cold. It was brilliant. You should come. Other thing, Alistair's attempt to free a cow from a gate. No, you don't tell Ben, who's been around cows all his life and is young and fit and healthy, to go away. You get as many able-bodied people in the area as you can, because once you sedated the cow, it's going to be wobbly, it's going to be trying to fall over, and you need people to physically hold it up. So yeah. No, I don't believe that. Alistair would have got Ben and anyone else he could find to give him a hand. Anyway, thanks very much for the show. Talk to you again soon. Oh, and if you want to see pictures of cocks, look up Vet Voyagers on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Bye.
Oh, I love it when we get a new caller in her.
Yes, me too. Just FYI, listeners, do not ever Google pictures of cocks, okay? Just don't. not because we said so or because anybody said so.
You ever been to that bit of Italy?
No.
Me either. I've been to Piemonte, so just south of that, but never quite got up to that bit. But I presume it is lovely because it's foot of the Alps and all of that. So apart from Cox, is there anything else we can take from Rachel's call?
No, because it was mostly about Cox.
She seems to know Ronnie's about farming etiquette when there's a little bit of a drama around a cow. That did seem to make sense. You know, in terms of you'd want as many hands on deck, so to speak. But, you know, what do I know? But Rachel seemed to know her onions. Anyway, so it's cocks, cows, and what else? That begins with C.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing else begins with C, Royfield. No. I think that she is right, and you would need as med because they are very heavy and they sag over cows and all that. But I think it was because Ben was twitchy and the dog was twitchy and she just wanted he just wanted him out of the way. But I agree, they would have gone to get a grown up rather than just leaving it to Johnny.
Right. How about we go from northwestern Italy to Toronto in Ontario?
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Mary in Toronto. I am not contrary on Twitter. I have a comment about the holes music that Royfield uses when Lucy has to answer the door or do some other task. It's a very famous piece of music. I don't know the name, but I know it's been used in lots of different things. For me, the main thing I associate it with is from my student days and the very short-lived cable television station Live TV that was owned by Mirror Group newspapers, tabloid newspapers in the UK. And it was a television station that was essentially Page Three Girls brought to life. Specifically, that track that Royfield uses for Lucy's chores was used on a show called Painted Ladies, where topless Page Three girls would cover themselves in paint and then roll around on big sheets of paper and make art, in inverted commas. And so every time I hear that music, when Lucy's doing something mundane and domestic, I can just think of page 3 Playboy bunnies. Okay, hope everyone's well. Bye.
Well, Mary, I have to say that is the first time anyone has thought of me rolling around in paint as a Playboy bunny. Ever.
I don't know if that's true, Alice.
I think it very well is.
The piece of music is called Left Bank 2, and it's a bit of library music composed by Mr. Wayne Hill in 1963, and it's performed by the Noble Tones. And for me, it's the Take Heart music. That's what it is.
Yes, it's the gallery.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Bum ba da bum ba dum.
Then there'd be a picture of an elephant by Alex Jennings, age 6.
Absolutely.
And we'd all be sitting at home going, his mum did that. There's no way he did that. He's only 6. Look at it. Cheat.
Lucy, mm-hmm. shall we move on from things musical?
Yes.
To our Mandy, because I think she's got something of great import to tell us.
Okay.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. It's Red Agnes here from Grim Up North. Mainly, I'm doing in any other business Ooh. This week, although I am feeling the love for all of you after last week's shambolic episode with the wonderful vibraphone and vision on while Luce has to go for a waz, chastises Baz the dog, and then lusts after the coal man. Absolute classic. I also like the contributions from the sci-fi geeks who are doing all sorts of incredible things with the toxic sludge. Absolutely fantastic. On a serious note, anybody who is a Radio 4 fan will be absolutely devastated by the death of Jeremy Hardy. Need to get that one out before I blub a bit, but Jez is a complete hero. Anyway, back to business. This week, Harrisman was on the Rather Marvellous Fortunately podcast. If you've not listened to Fortunately, you are missing a trick. It's up there with first 3 downloads I have every week. Dumpty Dum, of course. The Bugle podcast with a splendid Andy Saltzman and the Fortunately podcast from Radio 4. Fantastic. Another bit of news. A low flying hello you two again on Coronation Street. Just keep stealing that from me. Love the bit this week with the naughty Joe Grundy's knife comments. Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, you'll be glad to know that for my birthday, my lovely, lovely husband bought me a totally cool purple, age inappropriate Dumpty Dum hoodie. I'm going to throw some shapes with it and put it on the Facebook page. Anyway, must get off because I need to light the Kelly lamp in the outside car seat and break the ice on me gazunder. Keep up the shampoo.
Bye bye. Okay, we've just completely lost everybody that doesn't live in Britain now.
I used to listen to the Bruegel podcast. It's very funny. Very funny, very funny. That old Andy Saltzman, he's got a face which is utterly designed for a podcast, though. Have you ever seen a picture of him?
No.
Oh, he's an interesting looking human being. Kind of like bald, and then he's got lots of blonde curly hair sprouting out from the sides. He's an interesting looking man, but my God, is he funny. Spot on. Anyway, podcasts. Oh, that's what we do. Anyway, how's about we just keep chuntering around the north of England and have a little bit of our Julie from Pickering? There's things I need to say to her, by the way. Julie, I will return your call. There we go.
Hello, Julie from Pickering here. Listening to Tuesday evening's episode of The Archers with Philip and Kirsty in the bowl for lunch, nearly choked on my tea when Philip said, "I'm just admiring your specials, Jolene." Well, I really wanted Jolene to return with something like, "Thanks, Philip. Been worth every penny I paid for it, this push-up bra." I'm really looking forward to my new mugs arriving from the Dumpty Dum shop. Doodles.
That's what I need to call you back, because you change your order, and then I said I couldn't change it, and then I think actually I can. So that's the hold up where you haven't had your mugs.
Twitter lit up when we had the comment about Jolene's specials. I'm just going to saunter over to the bar and have a quick look at Jolene's specials. Oh, there they are, look. Hello, you two.
We've had a certain kind of rebalancing when it comes to our listeners, don't you think?
Have we?
Yeah, because it used to be all like home counties, all your type of person, Lucy. Now we're getting like Red Agnes, good old northern bowel she's got. We've got Julie from Pickering, you know, up there in North Yorkshire. And now we've got Jenny from Cumbria. I like the fact that we're addressing the north-south divide.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. It's Jenny in Cumbria here. I'm a first-time caller-innerer, but my sister Kat called in last week with a Dumpty Dum from my cute little daughter, Stephanie. I started listening again as an adult around when Helen had a teenage girl living with her. I think she was called Annette, and there was some sort of shenanigans with Annette running off with one of Helen's boyfriends. I can't really remember, but I think I'm an Annette. I've got a plot prediction for you today. My prediction is that Kate will take over running of Lower Loxley and turn it into some sort of eco retreat. She's been a bit quiet recently, and she's obviously looking for somewhere else to set up her yurts. That's all from me today. Keep up the good work. I love listening to Dumpty Dum every week. Bye for now.
Ta-ra.
Bye. I love the little baby noises in the background. It sounded like a goat at first, and then I realised it was a baby.
Tell you what, you know, we briefly spoke about our Johnny before.
Yeah.
And you said he was hopeless.
Right. Yeah.
And
he's not hopeless. He's not hopeless, no. But you'd need more than Johnny to prop a cow up. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. No. But just whilst we're on our Johnny, and obviously Ben invited him to this ridiculous Love Sucks party and said, can he bring his girlfriend Bella?
In a caravan. How many people can you fit in a caravan? About five, can't you?
Well, this is the thing. You know, can I admit a truth to you, Lucy?
What? You've never been in one?
I've never been in a caravan in my whole life, no.
Haven't you?
No. I've never... I just come from that part of the population that's never understood it. My parents never understood caravanning, so I've never put one foot in one. Just don't get it.
It's like, let's find four people that don't get on in a four-bedroom house and put them in one room in a box. A tin box.
For a rainy week.
And then watch them fight it out.
Yeah,
exactly. And then go to Cleethorpes or something. There was when I was walking the dog once, there was a rather posh lady that I walk with sometimes. Mm. And we were talking about another member of the dog walking squad who was absent, who is somewhat gobby. And the posh lady said to me, I do like her, but some of the things she says, you know, are a little bit... Well, let's just say there's a whiff of the caravan about her. A whiff of the caravan. I'm afraid I'm going to have to do one of my domestics, so you're going to have to cue that music again, because my daughter's locked herself out. I'm in the shed at the bottom of the garden, and she's at the front door, can't get in. So I'm going to have to go and let her in, and then I'll come back again. Bye.
Okay. We'll be right back.
is the dome. Back with the bass, the jam is live in effect, and I don't waste time on the mic with a dope rhyme. Jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump. And I'm here to combine beats and lyrics to make you shake your pants, take a chance. Come on and dance, guys, grab a girl, don't wait, make the twirl. It's your world and I'm just a squirrel, trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor. So yo, what's up? Hands in the air, come on, say yeah. Everybody over here, everybody over there. The crowd is live and I will prove this groove. Party people in the house, move.
Hello. I'm back.
You are, aren't you? You're back.
I am, rather.
It's all about whiffs, pongs and stenches. Bit of the valleys now. It's our goddess Diva, who's in Wales.
Hey, Dumpty Dum. It's goddess Diva again. And I have a couple of things to say to the women of Ambridge.
Uh-oh.
First off, I'll start with a joke. Male feminist walks into a bar because it sets a bloody low. Okay. Kirsty. He doesn't put me down isn't a reason to move in with him.
No.
He doesn't put me down is the bloody very least you should expect from a relationship with anybody, let alone a significant other. He doesn't put me down is great, but that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to not put you down. Ditto, Helen. Oh, I can burp and fart in front of him. Well, bloody done, love. Most of us do. It's called being in an actual relationship, and getting so bloody embarrassed about burping is just, does my head in. In fact, I'm going to give you all a treat now. There you go. Please, 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 women of Ambridge, please use better reasons to choose your men. Seriously. Just... You deserve better than this, my sisters. You deserve better than setting your bar so low that a cockroach would bang its head going underneath it. Mm-hmm. How about not only does he not put me down, not only does he encourage me to go to the environment agency for a job, even though he likes to chase foxes and rip them apart at weekends, how about he sees me as an important person in my own right and would... talk about buying a house together, not have you moving in with his... I'm getting cross. I'm getting really, really cross, and don't even start me on Emma. But I will say my favourite, as always, has got to be Jolene. Jolene, you keep going round to see Elizabeth because she needs you, whether she realises it or not yet, she needs you. And she's at that point of her depression where she cannot say, I need you. So acting as if she does is the perfect way forward. Anywho, I'm off to go and raise the bar a bit more elsewhere. Have a lovely week, Dumpty Dummers. Goddess Diva out.
Could not agree more. If I wasn't going to knock at my mic over, I would applaud.
But the thing is, though, right, and trust me, I'm not on the other side of this argument because there is not another side to be on. But it's just to say that Rob was so evil, so controlling, and so destroyed Helen's spirit that for her, this is somewhat of a revelation that she can be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't put her down. Of course, if you've gone from a regular relationship to another, that's the least of things that you're ever going to think of. But Helen was not in the most normal of relationships. And I think we have to recognise where Helen has come from for her to say that. And for her to say that then is very poignant and shows us that, you know what, she just got an ordinary guy, but it needed to be said. So I think you've been a little bit harsh considering that she's been in Nick because of her previous relationship. She nearly murdered the guy, and we've got to weigh all that in, goddess, when we look at, you know, the thing.
Yeah,
that she
but
said.
Also it was Kirsty, you know, sort of, well, Philip's all right and I do think I love him, so I'm going to move in with it. You know, it's sort of...
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Helen, right? This is specifically the point that our goddess made about Helen.
No, but she was saying the women of Ambridge in general, wasn't she?
Well, I don't know. The women of Ambridge can pull surprises. That's all I'll say. We're waiting for next week's dum-de-dum. You know, because you think that they're kind of past it and that they're still getting their groove on, so to speak. I'll leave that as a little marker for next week's dum-de-dum. I've said it before, I don't get Philip and Kirsty, and I don't get them on a very fundamental ethical level, that I just don't believe that Kirsty would be with a guy who hunts, let alone the lack of any kind of real personal dynamic, that she is a little bit of a live wire. She's got a little bit of, I was going to say a bit of spunk in her, but that has a completely different resonance. Let's leave it at live wire. She's a live wire, you know.
She's...
Right, let's just move. Royfield, move on, move on.
Yeah. But no, I know what you mean. Kirsty lives her values.
Yes.
She's not somebody that like, she's not like Kate, who kind of has values until something more interesting comes along and then she abandons them, you know, like with her vegan, you know, I'm completely vegan apart from wine, you know, whatever. Mm. And she isn't somebody that could just overlook that. I agree.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't fit.
There was a point, podcasts. We were talking about podcasts earlier. One of our callers was. And I said to myself, right, segue, man, segue, segue, segue. Because I wanted to mention your rather lovely and very poignant, very sweet, I was going to say map corner, sorry, walkie-talkie, which I had the pleasure of editing and putting live on the interwebs yesterday. So please, folks, if you haven't listened to our Lucy, on a podcast other than one where she speaks to me or maybe Robart or somebody else, listen to Walkie Talkie because it's all rather lovely. This one's it's a very small one, but it's very poignant, and it's a good gateway episode into the world of Walkie Talkie. So go to your podcatcher and type in Lucy Freeman and go download that because it was absolutely lovely. Now, talking about podcasts, Lucy... Right, and this really should go at the end of the show, but I'm not putting it at the end of the show. So I don't want people to miss this. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. You're just doing your I'm English and I'm just like blushing thing, so I'm not going to react when I'm paying you a compliment.
Oh, I see.
Right, good. There's like silence, and I thought, maybe the line's gone down. Now, are Terry Malloy...
No, but that's just tell people that's not a proper walkie-talkie. That's just a very quick one.
I did.
One.
I said it's a small one. It's a little gateway
and
drunk.
And the proper one's coming soon.
But that's what I said. I said it's a little small one.
Oh, okay.
I could have called it an amuse-bouche or something or other, but I didn't. I wasn't that clever in...
Amuse-bouche.
in the moment,
well,
I wasn't that
quick.
you know what I mean. Now,
I do, yes.
Our Terry Malloy, who played Mike Tucker for some 40 years, is no longer a regular. I don't think he's been absolutely axed, seems like too harsh a word. But formally, he hasn't been completely removed from The Archers going forward, but he hasn't been in it as a regular for at least 3 years or so. I did a dum-de-dum extra with him yesterday. And he was honest to the point of utter distraction and like he loves the Archers and he feels very emotional about not really being a part of it anymore. And he misses people. You know, he misses his mates, his friends who he's worked with for years. So if you are not a Patreon listener, and why don't you do that this week so you can get your hands around the interview, which I'm going to release maybe about Thursday, Friday, of R. Terry, Mike Tucker, talking about life outside of the Archers and how he feels about this great British institution. So that's become a Patreon subscriber. Go listen to that. So that's it. A couple of podcasts. Now it's time for a quick break and we'll come back the other side and it's going to be our Millie Bell with our first of two reports on the world of dum-de-dum and social media.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If country borders and grids can fascinate you, and state names intrigue you, if atlases, globes, city plans, subway maps, and of course, world maps are your thing, if you can name the capital city of Namibia, and if you get giddy about flags, you are in the right place. This is Map Corner, a podcast about the love of maps brought to you by Roy Field Brown and Claire Asprey. Now, on with the show.
Google Maps, it's beautiful that they go to the globe. It's just very intuitive. And overall, I think in general terms, it helps to look at a globe occasionally, just to understand that the world is interconnected.
And then, yeah, but what led the young you to be even become
a the young me, there was a pure accident. I'm not as much into the Mercator bashing, which is currently a bit of a hip thing ever since this West Wing episode came out.
This is episode 1 of Map Corner. Now, if you are a Twitter user and you love a map, and if you don't love maps, why are you even on this podcast? Simon Kustenmacher is basically somebody who you've retweeted his great posts. Simon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First off, people that like maps are incredibly dull people. We're boring, we're nerds, we don't have any friends. So why is it that a young Simon was turned on to the world of cartography?
It's Tuesday morning in Kingston, Jamaica. It's 6:30 a.m. I'm Suzanne Stanley, the CEO of the Jamaica Environment Trust.
You're tuned to RJR 94 FM Real Jamaican Radio.
A fire that started yesterday at the Riverton City landfill on Spanish Town Road in Kingston is still raging at this hour. It's reported that the blaze has worsened due to heavy gusts of wind fanning across the area.
We are currently standing in Corby Gardens.
It's a very nice community. The only problem has been for the last couple of years is the constant nuisance of the smoke just being a few miles from the Riverton City Dome.
Riverton actually became a very hot topic during our delivery of the project.
On the road.
So we are a non-government environmental organization. We were started in 1991.
After 6 days, the fire at the Riverton Dump has been contained by fire officials. However, local agency, the Jamaica Environment Trust, JET, says there's a lot to be answered for.
The Jamaica Environment Trust is deeply alarmed at the state of affairs concerning the Riverton Dump. It should not be that every year the country has to expend millions of dollars to out these types of fires.
So when you're talking about Riverton, for example, you know, Riverton is one side of the issue. That's where your waste ends up. That's the part of the issue that many Jamaicans don't see. Most Jamaicans have never been to Riverton. Most Jamaicans don't think about Riverton unless there's a dump fire that's affecting Kingston or there's some item on the news.
Coma Voices is a podcast about
citizens coming together
to participate in democracy
and influence the institutions
that shape their lives.
G'day everyone, Millie Bell here. We started the week by wondering whether Jolene was after Witherspoon's job. And Gail Parry said, I read this as Witherspoon's and thought it was a wonderful plot twist for the ball, which did make me laugh. And Witherspoon said, I think I'll just stay here in Disney World. Christine Coulson said, lots of love for Jolene tonight. So much kindness and compassion. And Joe Jackson said, love Jolene and the writing behind it. On the other hand, whoever is writing the stuff about Alistair worrying about his age and being bolstered by his clients is really hammering it home. And that was pretty good because the next topic we talked about was Alistair, who was getting all the compliments despite his advanced age. Janice Betson said he has become more bearable since he split up with Shula. And Helena Bennett said it's to stop him selling up. The money worries seem to be evaporating. Liz Eden said, good, Shula didn't want him, but there's still life in the old dog. And Teresa de Billet said she has a prediction. Alistair and Elizabeth. Oh, I think we've had enough of those very tight little marriages, so hope that's not true. But who knows, you could be right. And we also talked about Emma, and oh, wasn't she mean, proving that the apple never falls far from the tree. And Megan Eliza Stott said, it is the horribin gene. Tracy's so bad at that too. Do you reckon Kira will be just as bad? Oh, I hope not. And Paul Green said, so horrific, not just for the awful gossip, but also making me feel sympathetic towards dull and dreadful Ian. Martin van der Heuvel said she better keep her judgmental eyes on dodgy Tim, who's leading her beloved husband astray. Well, we haven't seen how that's going to pan out, but you could be right, Martin. And Elizabeth Jones said, exactly what I thought. And Vicky Cole said I was surprised how dreadful she was, actually. I think we're all surprised at how dreadful she was. We talked about the great insight from Brian, even though most of it was about him that night. And do we have any advice for parents-to-be? And Sarah Harrison said, he's wrong. It isn't great advice. Yes, children can still be unkind, but schools are much, much kinder and more tolerant places than they used to be. I see it with my own children. They are not saints, but are more tolerant of diversity than I was in the 70s. And Sarah, as a teacher, I do agree there is a lot of tolerance amongst many, many students, and certainly we do teach it and parents support us with that, but I do see a lot of bullying too, and I think that's something we'll always be fighting. And Carrie Purdom said, sleep all the sleep you can now because you will never sleep as well again. And we also talked about that wonderful phrase from Joe when he was giving really good advice to Brian, global gonads. I was crying with laughter. Look, I had to stop the podcast and then go back a bit because I was just laughing so hard. And I wondered whether anybody had accidentally made any funnies of a similar nature. Thank you to Rob Williams, who pointed out to me that I'd said malapropism when I meant spoonerism. And I was very, very tired, but nevertheless, I shouldn't have made that mistake. Denise Smallwood said, in the ER, my little old auntie replied when asked if she was allergic to any drugs. She replied, only cocaine. As the young doctor's head snapped up my mum's school, she means codeine. I absolutely love that. Shirley McCann said she said China for punks. And Nicholas Nitsua says, I have created many shafts of wit. And Jan Mitchell finished with terrestrial testicles, panoramic penises. Thank you for making me say that on the podcast. Now, I just thought that I would finish by giving you some insights as to who is a member of our Facebook page. And just bear in mind that this is based on information that you have put in as your user profile. So if, for example, you are like me and you actually haven't put exactly where you live, then, of course, that will be slightly misleading. But we have the majority of our listeners in the United Kingdom. The majority of our listeners who are also on the Facebook page, I should say, we have 1,837. And then the next place is the United States with 167 podcast listeners. And then Australia with 38, Canada with 33, Ireland with 26. I'm glad you identify as a separate country. New Zealand with 17. Then we start going to some not necessarily English-speaking countries such as France, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, UAE, Guernsey, Hong Kong, the Isle of Man, India, and a couple of countries we don't have any listeners from, so or who haven't signed up to Facebook, so please, Chile, Japan, Romania, Sudan, if you're in any of those countries, please sign up with us. And which were the major cities? The biggest city from which we have Facebook Dumpty Dum listeners is London with 210, and other than that, we are absolutely spread across the globe. Most of the first few countries, most of the cities are in the UK, but honestly, we are all over the place and we have a lot of second language speakers. So if you would like an update like that, again, just let me know on Facebook. But I thought that was really, really interesting. I don't know why. I thought more of our Facebook people were going to be from the UK, but clearly we are spread all over the world. Anyway, that's me for this week. We are still having a heat wave here, and I have to tell you, I do not like it when it's been hot so long that my toothpaste is warm. I've become very sooky about it. But nevertheless, of course, we know all these things will change, and we know that people in America have been putting up with very, very cold weather, so I shouldn't whinge. So until I speak to you in a fortnight, I will leave you in the very capable hands of Yokel Bear, and until then, I say to you...
Hooroo.
Ta-ra.
I did say just before Millie Bell started that report that right at the end of the podcast, we have a special little report on Archer's Academics. and their and them talking about dum-de-dum, which Millie Bell does report on. So if you wait around till the very end after Lucy does a Daily Mirror headline of the week, then you'll have that, and you might find some very interesting information on that as well. Mm. Right now, Lucy, chop chop tweets.
What? Is it Tweet of the Week?
That's what I said. Chop, chop, tweets.
Check your sheds, said. I can't tell you the amount of times I've pulled out a picture of a pantomime horse in a job interview. It always clinches the deal. The delightful Samantha, said. Brian, people can be so vicious online. Assemble the archers, tweet along us. We've been rumbled. Willem Harvey, said perhaps Lee thought the Chinese restaurant would be safe as Helen couldn't do much harm with chopsticks. D. Daly said, Helen and Ian's friendship is the most contrived and unconvincing since Barack Obama welcomed Donald Trump to the White House. Absolutely. And Ruther Ian, the best pun ever. Not a pun, really, whatever. Jenny, have we run out of marmalade? Yes, Brian, we can't afford it anymore. Just don't spread it.
It's a crap joke. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, smashing.
Yep. Do you want me to do the Daily Mirror one?
Go on.
The Daily Mirror headline. All right. Kate
I see
Beckinsale
what you're doing,
in
by
Royal
the way.
Mix-up.
I see what you're doing.
What do you
you're
mean?
Moving it up the you running can see order. What I'm
doing. I know. It's good. This show's just going to be about the Mirror headline soon. We won't bother with the archers. Kate Beckinsale in royal mix-up with Kate Middleton after rupturing an ovarian cyst. I'm not saying that rupturing an ovarian cyst is funny. It's just as a complex headline that just makes you think, what the fuck? It's yes, it's perfect.
Oh. That is a good one. Is a good one. Right, let's just start to wind this down, shall we? Folks, we love you dearly. Without listeners of this podcast, Lucy and I would have gone on and done more meaningful things with our lives in the last 4 years. But because people do listen, we decided to stick around and do this nonsense. Now, you can either support this podcast with your ears. You can maybe support it with a little bit of loose change in your pockets by going on to patreon.com. Or you can even support us by going on to a podcatcher of your choice and writing us a review. Now, the most important reviews for us to get new listeners, because that's what writing a review does, is actually Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes. We've had loads of lovely reviews this year. And in a forthcoming show, we will be thanking those people who have written us a review. So if you want to hear your name on this podcast, why don't you go on to Apple iTunes? You don't need an Apple Mac, an iPhone or anything like that. You just go and sign up from any old Android, Windows-based device and whatever and go and write us a review. And that'd be awesome. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. And that'd be great because, as I said before, what reviews do is they help get us up those iTunes charts, which mean more listeners. So go and write us a review. Now, dumdedum.com, you can go there. It's got shops, got all manner of things are kicking off there. Now, the Write You Are quiz has actually formally been closed by Mr. Mike Hatton. And not everybody got all of the answers right, but there is a post about it. And you can go and relive it. And if you don't even want to know the answers, because they are on the website, just go on to dumdedum.com, hit Write You Are quiz, and go play along. But Mr. Hatton, you know, I don't know how you're going to surpass yourself next time, because that was one doozy of a quiz, sir. So dumdedum.com, it's got a shop, it's got all sorts. Oh, and as for the shop, oh, you know, go there. Was it Red Agnes? Red Agnes has got herself a purple hoodie with the legend Dum-de-dum across the chest. Why don't you go and join?
Yes, by
going on there and purchasing something from our store. And we are an international podcast. So if you believe in British English, it's a shop. If you're American, it's a store. It's all the bloody same. Go there, buy some stuff, buy a mug, buy a cup, buy a beaker, buy a coaster, or even a dog bandana. We sold our first one last week, Lucy. So go on to dumdedum.com, hit shop and you can help us out there. Now, Lucy, I've been prattling on for about 3 minutes. Why don't you help me out by telling people about us on social media?
Telling people about what? Oh, remember, if you want to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or you can call 0203 031 3105 to leave us a message.
You can find myself, Royfield, or our Luce at DumDeeDum on the Twitters. Lucy is at?
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield. And of course, there is Robert, who is Naked Fingers. And of course, we are also present on Facebook. Quite simply, to find us on Facebook, type in DumDeeDum. I think that's just about the end, our Lucy. Quite nice. How the hell have I got all the way through this and I've not mentioned that Map Corner's about to launch? Oh, my God. It's me bigging up your bloody podcast and I forgot my own.
Shall I big up yours? Okay,
yes, please do.
I will big up Royfield. Royfield has done a podcast called Map Corner, so it means he doesn't have to talk about maps on here and have me huffing and puffing and tutting in the background. So he's doing it with Claire Asprey, who is very competent, so it's likely to be produced regularly and everything else. And it's all about obscure maps their greater significance is.
Oh, okay. That all right. I like that spin. When you said obscure, I thought you were going to like nobble it and like.
So it's the sort of things that you see on Twitter and think, oh, isn't that really, really interesting? But you never get to find out the background. If you listen to Map Corner, you will find out the background to things like that. So it's where what they represent as in the social infrastructure.
Bloody hell.
I think.
Do you want to do my PR
for me? Is
that right? That's kind of it in a nutshell. But also, what we want to do on Map Corner is to create a little bit of a community like we have done with DumDeeDum. It's not going to be anything like DumDeeDum because the subject matter is so different. But you can, and we implore you to, call in on SpeakPipe and tell us about a great or an interesting or a quirky map that you've bumped into on your travels. So we want to hear your voices. So go to mapcorner.space. That's mapcorner.space. Hit the SpeakPipe tab and let's talk about maps because they're awesome. Right, that's me done, spent, finished, kaput. I'm out of here. Aight, what are you doing? You off?
I'm going to go and let the dog in. Yeah.
Right, you let our Basil in and
I've taught him to knock at the door, which was a really, really stupid thing to do because he loves it. So now he just stands outside knocking and then I let him in and then he turns around, goes back out, comes back and knocks it. Sorry?
He knocks with his paw?
Yeah.
What a clever dog. Mm. Right. That's really giving me pause for thought because Ledley, the dog here, is not very bright. He's a lovely pooch, but you can't even tell him to sit, stay, or anything. He's just got a mind of his own, and he's not, you know.
It's just training. He haven't got an innate understanding of what the word "sit" means.
They've inherited him, I think, at the age of 8, and his last owners just didn't. So you can't teach
old dog new tricks.
No. So you're on the street and you're like, stay, stop, and whatever. And he's just like doing his own thing. I don't even really think he knows these names, Ledley. Like, you don't, he is the prick up. You go, Ledley? He doesn't go, you're talking about me. He doesn't. But, I love this dog. He's such, he's a chocolate brown lab and he's lovely. He's got the loveliest temperament in the world, but he's as thick as two short planks. Or more to the point. More to the point, he doesn't understand English because I'm not saying he's thick, but he doesn't understand English. Anyway, on that note, that's it. I'll say goodbye a second time. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good day, everyone. Well, this is a special report brought to you because of a fantastic thread that was started on Academic Archers by Suzanne Steele. She said, do any of you listen to DumDeeDum podcasts? They're a blast.
They have a chronology mapped out and suggest that a listener identify themselves with the name of a character involved in a major incident that took place around the time the listener first began listening to The Archers. So I thanked her. I said, oh, thank you so much. You know, I hope you're going to be cooler in a while. She said, nope, not yet. I find them a blast because they're so improvisatorial. Sorry if I said that wrong. No polished scripts, for example. And sometimes you hear Lucy's kids interrupting or a doorbell ring. Some of the cooler in a while are hilarious as well. I'm sure the script writers at Archers and Company laugh along with Royfield and Lucy and the gang. And she also said she's in Canada and she can't look at the Archers' Facebook pages until the day after because we tend to spoil the plot lines. By the way, she'd love to come to a Dumpty Dum get-together as I'm afraid my family all thinks I'm a bit off vis-a-vis my nightly dose of programmes. Often re-listening because I drift off to the dulcet tones. Yes, I think I get lucky with the time difference because I get the Archers first thing in the morning and I can usually listen to it while I'm going about my business, so we probably do spoil it for you. However, not everybody agreed. Doug Fond, I don't know if you remember him, but he was a caller in the early days. He said he did listen to it for a while, but he lost interest because he found it too long, which was a bit sad. Lynn Griffith said, I love Dumpty Dum. I'm happy listening to back issues as well as the weekly updates. It frequently makes me laugh out loud, leading to some very strange looks from my fellow gym members. Now, shortly after this, a lovely little bit started. Suzanne Steele said, okay, this isn't exactly Archer's goth, but am I correct when I say I thought I heard reference to Lucy and Royfield as once being an item? So I checked with Royfield and he gave me the go-ahead and I said, yep, you were on the money, Suzanne. They were teenage lovers, according to Royfield himself. I thought I'd better, for the record, make it clear that Yokel Bear Witherspoon and I have strictly platonic relationships, and Witherspoon tells me his husband is very grateful that this has been publicly announced. And we then had a series of people who said, you know, thank you for letting us know. We're now going to start listening to the podcast or try the podcast at least. And Kate Lewis, for example, said, I can't believe I didn't know about this. I am now downloading frantically. Jem Abram said, I attended the Dumpty Dum weekend with a live recording in Birmingham last October, organised by Royfield Brown, and it was great fun. Ruth Piper said, this is huge news, subscribed. So what I'd really like to do is to invite everybody who might be new to listening to Dumpty Dum is to be a caller in or out. Nina White, you said it's your favourite podcast, you love the informal chat. I don't remember you calling in, but if you have in the past or not, please call us in. We want to hear from you. And we then started a discussion about who everybody was. And it turned out, now can I find where Suzanne still said what she was? No, I can't because I'm rubbish. But people have been listening, as we know, from way before I have to, way more recently. And this is what makes us all such a good community, because we can share our knowledge. And, you know, this thing about who are you in The Archers, which year did you start listening? It is fun. And Jan Sparrow of Uola says, I love Dumpty Dum, and I'm proud to say I'm actually featured in the title of podcast number 8 under a slightly different name as I remarried 2 years ago. I've been listening since the beginning, but have no idea anymore how I heard of it. Do you know what? I started listening to it from almost the beginning, and I've got no idea how I found it. I think it was I was just trawling through trying to find new podcasts. My favourite one response, though, was from Robin Winning about which year she is. She says she's an anaerobic digester. Truly, Ruth and Davey debating acquiring one is the first storyline that she remembers. Look, thank you for that, for the publicity, but also we do want more people to join our community. We are a great community together, and we all love our Archers. We are from all over the world. So thank you to everybody who contributed. Thank you to Suzanne Steele, who started that thread. And please, seriously think about becoming caller inners, because without you, we don't have a podcast. So I'll do a proper social, a more general social roundup later. But until then, hooroo!